Welcome to Words of the Prophets, a podcast where we discuss the latest talks from the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. My name is Todd, and today I have with me my friend Rivka. How are you today, Rivka?
I'm doing really great.
Awesome. I know you are attending BYU Education Week this week, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Tell me about that experience.
I love Education Week. I did some like several years ago, and then we started homeschooling, and so then I was doing a lot of that. But I came last year with my son, and we had such a good time. And because he's serving a service mission at home, he can get permission to come and do this again. So I get to be here with my son, and some of the classes we take together and some we do separately, and we always meet up for lunch and I eat something different every day, and he always has a Subway sandwich. But it's cool this year because I get to walk around with Elder O'Neill. Pretty awesome. He'll have his tag on, and so it's great. There's such a variety of classes that it's really fun.
How does that experience interact with your invitation that you've been working on to make your holy habits a witness to the sea?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm walking around a campus with a bunch of people who are trying to do that. But it's one of my favorite things is because I'm sitting in different classes all the time, or, you know, sitting down in the Cougar Eats area or something, I'm always running into people and having a chance to just, you know, say hello and introduce names and talk about classes we've gone to and how, you know, the gratitude we feel for being able to be here or the things that the Spirit is telling us. And so it's like a whole week full of like these little mini conversations with a bunch of people about the gospel and what we're here seeking and how it's improving our lives. So it's lots of opportunities to just share my testimony.
Thousands of people willing to have drop of the hat gospel discussions with someone they just met.
I know.
Like Rivka heaven.
Right? It's a dream. I know my whole family just sits there horrified. They're like, oh my gosh, what a nightmare. But I think it's fantastic. I'm like, you love the gospel too. Let's talk about it.
So. That's fantastic. Well, good. Glad you're here today. And we also have with us Burke. How are you today, Burke?
I'm doing great. Just Kate and I here at home with Daphne and enjoying a restful weekend. So,
excellent. Any new invitation updates?
No, I have nothing new to report. The quest continues.
Okay. Excellent. Well, I will update on my invitations. I'm sort of working on studying charity. I'm still working on whatever the words are that President Lund used, drenching myself in the scriptures or whatever it was, flooding myself. Unfortunately, I chose, you know, charity is a new one and it's going well, but I also sort of chose two overlapping invitations. Both involve like study and personal reading and honoring and praying. So I'm sort of dividing my focus a little bit. I still have yet to finish Jesus the Christ. I'm doing really well at Book of Mormon and Come Follow Me, and I've added in charity. So I kind of have to narrow back down and decide what I'm really going to finish and then maybe move on from there. So working on that. So that's our invitation update. We are going to move on to our talk today. It is called, Do You Know Why I, as a Christian, Believe in Christ? It's by Elder Ahmad S. Corbett of the 70. I am not mistaken. The last time we heard from him in General Conference, he was in the Young Men's Presidency and the General Young Men's Presidency. And he gave that very memorable talk where he talked about like enormous faith and gigantic faith and just
that's right.
All these incredible superlative words talking about how massive the faith is of the youth. And it was great. It was very memorable. So. Okay, so let's dig into it. Rivka, what was your fundamental doctrine?
So this talk is premised on a conversation he had on the bus from New York City home to New Jersey with a woman he was sitting next to. And the topic of his Christianity came up because he was writing something about it on the computer. And so in a very normal and natural way, this gospel discussion blossoms. And the whole talk is on that. But toward the end of the talk, here's my the message that was in this talk from me. That evening in New Jersey, sharing why we need Jesus Christ and his doctrine gave me a new sister and her a new brother. And I loved the reminder that the reason that we share the gospel is because we're responding to a call to gather Israel, and that that work is the gathering of a family back to our heavenly parents. And I just thought it was such a beautiful way that he said that, because they had this conversation that that his family expanded. And I just thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. And he said that he invited her to share her contact info with the missionaries, but we don't know what happened after that. We don't know if she was ever baptized. Mm-hmm. But that didn't matter in terms of her becoming his new sister, right? She wasn't a sister because she was baptized. She was a sister because they shared this discussion about the Savior. So I like that. It was good. Let's go to Burke. Burke, what was your fundamental doctrine?
So I believe this talk has a fundamental question.
Ooh, yes.
And it is this: why did Jesus have to die? Because this is the moment when he gets to this, he's about to explain to her, and he's like, well, if I just jump in and say I follow Jesus Christ because he willingly suffered and died for my sins, she might wonder, did Jesus have to die? And he's like, even in his own mind, as he was thinking that question, he's like, well, did he have to die? Why did he have to die? Do I know why he had to die? I know there were some obstacles that had to be overcome, but I think the central question is, why did Jesus have to die?
Yeah, and the next question he asked after that was, couldn't God simply forgive and cleanse us of our sins if we asked him to? Ironically, or coincidentally, or perhaps not coincidentally, I had this literal exact conversation with a member of the church in my ward, who I'm good friends with. Someone that is her friend, who is an evangelical but now an atheist, asked her this question, like, well, you know, that's great, the Savior and all that, but why can't we just pray and be forgiven? You know, why does there have to be an intermediary? So that's the fundamental question, Burke. What's your fundamental answer? What would you say? Not what would Elder Corbett say or what did he say, but how would you have answered this?
Well, my answer actually would be exactly the same as his, because his answer comes pretty much out of the discussions that I memorized to get over this exact problem with most of the people that I taught on my mission, many of whom had heard of Christ, kind of, but had no idea who he really was or why he mattered. So,
okay. So what would your answer be?
Well,
then we'll go in more detail with his quotes from him, but.
Well, so then the answer is that we believe in a God who is our Father, the Father of our spirits, and also gave us the opportunity to come to this earth and have mortal bodies. And he loves us, and he wants us to be able to return back to live with him. But in coming to this life, we have two obstacles that we have to overcome. One of them is that eventually we will die and we will lose our body. And while he is a being that has a perfected immortal body, we would then need to get a body back. So that's our first problem. And the second problem we have is that God is a perfected being. And in coming to this earth, we are all going to fall short of the expectations of perfection. And in order to overcome these two different kinds of death, one a physical death and two a spiritual death, being separated from our God, we need someone who can achieve that for us, because we are powerless to do it ourselves.
Yeah. Thank you, Burke.
Yeah.
One of my fundamental doctrines from this talk is we are blessed with an incredible knowledge of the fundamentals of the gospel, the foundational principles. that even other Christians still lack, which is just incredible to me. We are so blessed. I mean, that's like a basic missionary sort of lesson that you went through there. And it's mystifying to other people who are not in our church sometimes because they don't, it's still confusing. What do we have to do? What are the obstacles?
One of the things I love about this talk is if you feel that your foundation of why we believe these things, where they come from, how it could be well stated, and the stepwise process, just pull open this talk and consult the footnotes.
Indeed.
You have weeks of good study ahead of you.
Absolutely.
I mean, just the one paragraph that I just kind of summarized in my own words. Much is said.
Indeed. The footnotes are extensive and amazing, and he's got explanations, he's got scriptures galore. Yeah, you could spend a long time studying this. Fantastic. Okay, well, let's move on to other parts of the talk that stood out to us here. Let's go back to that, Burke. That was your explanation. Is there anything from his explanation that you wanted to read or quote here that stood out to you?
Well, I think the other part that goes along with all of that, and still the question may arise, well, yes, I understand those obstacles, but why can't God just fix them for us? And so then his answer, which is the answer, he says, I informed her that this was an effect of the law of justice. This eternal law demands that an eternal penalty be paid for every one of our sins or violations of God's laws or truth, or we could never return to live in his holy presence. It would be unjust, and God cannot deny justice. So this is one of those things that they can say why to this, and then at that point we have to say, because this is an eternal law and it exists. And beyond that, I don't know that we can explain it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that too. I think that is also a hard concept sometimes to grasp, even though it's a fundamental, foundational concept. Yeah, the law is affixed, right? And there's an eternal penalty, and somebody has to pay that penalty, and the Savior is willing to do that for us, so... Great. Rivka, anything to add to that discussion of these first questions and answers here?
Not really. You guys have covered it really well.
Okay. Then let's move on. What's another quote from here that stood out to you, Rivka?
He says, the steps God revealed we must take to follow Jesus and receive eternal life are called the doctrine of Christ. They include faith in Jesus Christ and his atonement, repentance, baptism into the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, and enduring to the end. I shared these steps with my friend, but here are some ways in which prophets and apostles have recently taught how the doctrine of Christ can bless all God's children. And then he shares a few quotes. Four different quotes, right? President Nelson, Elder Uchtdorf, Elder Renlund, Elder Christofferson. So I don't know. I thought it could be fun to kind of touch on some of those together.
Yeah. Which one do you want to start with?
Well, the first one is from President Nelson. And he said, the pure doctrine of Christ is powerful. It changes the life of everyone who understands it and seeks to implement it in his or her life. Which is classic President Nelson clarity. And
plain and precious,
plain and precious. Yes. And I thought some about the idea that if we understand the basics of it and we're seeking to implement it, it will change our life. Like he's clear about that. It's one of those things where it's like, once you get on that path, then expect changes, like you expect miracles. He's really good about being that, you know, like do this stuff and then expect that these great things will happen.
Right. So how has the doctrine of Christ changed your life?
This one of those questions again, where it's like,
how has breathing affected your life today?
Well, I could tell you most recently that, I have felt as we have been implementing this covenant path in our home and in the supporting of a missionary, that I have felt kind of a refining of some aspects of mothering that that, you know, I have felt in recent weeks that has been an answer to prayer and a clarification of some things that I've struggled with. And, you know, it is life-changing in the sense of like a long journey course correction. It's not like my life is so different than it was 3 weeks ago, but so often what this feels like for me is just that those little course corrections and that little refinement that keeps me focused on where I should be and what I should be doing.
Okay. I love that. And I think that, Burke, your answer, how is breathing? You know,
life. Well, I don't know. I've always done it. Seems bad if I stop, you know?
I think if I stop, some things really change a lot fast. Yeah.
That sort of sums it up for me. And I knew that the answer in some ways was a little bit ridiculous among this crowd, but I still think it's good to think about and say out loud, you know, like the doctrine of Christ has impacted everything in my life, right?
Yeah.
And of course, we all, those course corrections you were talking about, Rivka, and of course we all do things each day that continue to separate us from the Lord, and hopefully we draw that space, you know, closer each day. But, you know, it sets the trajectory of our lives, and everything that we do is based on the doctrine of Christ, you know, or at least we try to do that. We strive to make it that way. So yeah, I think it's it's powerful, changes our lives, as he says. Well, moving on to Elder Uchtdorf, I'll talk about this one. The For the Strength of Youth guide is bold in declaring the doctrine of Christ and inviting you or the youth to make choices based on it. I loved this quote because I just love the youth of the church, and I love the approach of this new For the Strength of Youth. Burke, it was like those mission rules you were talking about. You know, the old one was very clear and easy to follow, right?
Yeah.
Everything was laid out to the T. Some of those things are still there. They're not all gone. But now it's teaching that principle-based approach of how does the doctrine of his atonement, faith, repentance, baptism, enduring to the end, gift of the Holy Ghost, how does that impact your choices all the way from do I get a tattoo or not? Or to, you know, when do I date and who do I date? So all these sorts of things. And I love the idea that it's bold in declaring that. You know, it doesn't shrink from controversial topics or modern day things that are hard to struggle through and wrestle with. But it boldly declares, this is the way to salvation, to truth, to happiness. And you are free to make your choices, but if you want to live up to the manner of happiness, this is the way. So all that summed up in that short Elder Uchtdorf quote. Burke, do you want to read the Elder Renlund quote and tell us your thoughts about it?
Yeah, he says, we invite missionaries to do what they ask those they teach to do, apply the doctrine of Christ in their lives, and get on and stay on the covenant path. This is interesting to me. As I read this, it brought up a experience I had a number of years ago when I was in a stake calling, and the discussion came up I'm not going to remember the name of the council now, but anyway, the leadership council, whatever it was, and the stake president and some others were pushing almost to develop a curriculum for kind of a preach my gospel for the members, but it felt a little bit like to me at the time, what they were really saying is we need to teach the members how to sell the gospel. And I remember, because I was involved in Sunday school, being somewhat frustrated that I couldn't even get people to read the lesson ahead of time and come prepared for a discussion. And the point I kept trying to make was, well, maybe what we need to focus on is people just knowing and understanding the gospel. And as they study it and learn it and seek to live it, then so many of the things that we're trying to accomplish here just start happening because people are closer to the Spirit and they have this joy of Christ in their lives. And I think that's exactly what he's saying right here.
Yeah. I love that. Back to the principle-based approach, right?
Yep.
Awesome. Okay. Great quote there and great thoughts on it. And our last quote, Rivka, is from Elder Christofferson. It's like half a quote, maybe?
Yeah.
It's a very interesting quote. So I'm interested to hear what your approach was to this.
So Elder Corbett says, the doctrine of Christ empowers those who are struggling or feel they don't belong in the church because it helps them, as Elder D. Todd Christofferson stated, quote, affirm Jesus Christ died for me and loves me. And then he spends a couple of paragraphs talking about and sort of warning against the temptation for parents who have children who are struggling with aspects of the gospel to jump off of the covenant path and try to change that to the direction that their children are going in an effort to save their children from being off the path. And encourages instead reminding them that it is through coming unto Christ, regardless of who we are or what the struggle is, that we receive strength and healing. And then he talks about he and his wife visited recently the wilderness where Moses held up the serpent of brass before the wandering children of Israel. The Old Testament story we're, I hope, all familiar with. The Lord had promised to heal all those who were bitten by poisonous snakes, he said, if they would simply look upon it. In holding up the doctrine of Christ before us, the Lord's prophet is doing the same, quote, that he should heal the nations, end quote. And then he says, whatever the bites or poison or struggles we experience in this mortal wilderness, let us not be as those who anciently and presently could have been healed, but sadly would not look because they did not believe that it would heal them. And I wonder too, you know, it says because they did not believe that it would heal them and that's from the thing, but I wonder sometimes too, if it's that we don't, sometimes we don't want that to be the way we get healed, whatever the answer is. We want to be healed in the way that we want to be healed and that makes us comfortable and makes us, requires less repentance on our part or less change or less accepting of a situation we wish were different. But for whatever reason, we may choose not to look because that healing is not the healing we want. And his encouragement is, or advice is the reminder that Jesus Christ is the source of healing. It's his healing that we seek, and we seek it from him. And if he has requirements or if he's in a place that we need to go, then that's part of discipleship and that's part of the doctrine of Christ and staying on the covenant path.
What a profound thought that maybe we want healing from somewhere else, from a place we want it, not from the Savior. I like that. And I want to go back and read a quote that sort of goes along with that. And you discussed the principles from this paragraph, but I like the specific quote. He said, if your child struggles with a gospel principle or prophetic teaching, please resist any type of evil speaking or activism toward church and its leaders. I like the next one too. I'll keep going. These lesser secular approaches are beneath you and can be lethal to the long-term faithfulness of your child. And so maybe you're trying to heal your child through validation and solidarity, but what they need is the Savior instead. And so rather than being validating of like, yeah, aren't those, you know, aren't the brethren dumb or out of touch or whatever the case may be, you know, being loving and understanding about helping to continue to point towards the Savior, is the right way to help your child stay on the covenant path. So really interesting. Yeah. Did you just anything else to add to that, Rivka?
I don't know. I can understand how easy it could be as a parent to, or a sibling, or, you know, to have a loved one who is struggling and think that you are doing the right thing by building them up where they stand and assuming that that is the best way to love them, rather than, holding your place on the path so that when they're ready, they know where to come. Do you know what I mean? Because if you step off the path with them, then you're off the path. And Satan has a lot of power once that happens.
Right.
And it is one of those things that is not the answer that we want. And Elder Corbett has spoken about this in other in other places. He's discussed this, and he gets a great deal of kickback and flack and a lot of hate online because of this idea that he's talking about. But you know, the Savior doesn't need us to make his gospel palatable to others. He just needs us to bear testimony of the truth, and then he and the Spirit can work on changing people's hearts if they can hear the truth and they know where to come if they have questions about it.
Right. It goes back to what Burke was saying, I think, right? Just do the fundamentals, teach the doctrine of Christ, live the doctrine of Christ, and the rest will take care of itself.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, anything else to add to that, Burke, before we move on to invitations and prompts?
Just an amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I love it. All right. Well, let's go to invitations and promises. Burke, did you find any in here?
So the big invitation I marked was the one that you and Rivka just read specifically to parents. But the other one I marked down here near the bottom says, "Wherefore, how great the importance to make these things known unto the inhabitants of the earth," which is from the Book of Mormon. And he says, "to love, share, and invite as we gather Israel in all our communities and families." So I think that is the invitation. Love, share, and invite.
Love, share, invite. Those are the key words right now. I love it. Awesome. Rivka, how about you? Any invitations and promises?
Talked about all of them. Share the gospel. That's the invitation, right? And a lot of this, like, in whatever ways you have the opportunity to do it, whether it's sitting next to someone on a train or speaking, not in general conference, but speaking somewhere, or just consistently and valiantly living the gospel and standing as a lighthouse to guide those who are ready to come unto Christ to him.
Awesome. I love it. Share the gospel. Okay. Well, that was a great one and full of gospel foundation. So worth a review and worth a review of those footnotes, as Burke said. The next one we're going to discuss is "Abide in Me and I in You. Therefore, Walk with Me" by Elder David A. Bednar of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. In the meantime, you can get a hold of us on social media at Words of the Prophets Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, or wordsoftheprophetspodcast@gmail.com. So thank you for joining us today. And until next time, keep the faith.